Welcome to Carituals. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to give feedback for a presentation, chapter 2, what to say, part 1.
The questions that this cast answers are, how do I answer the question, how did I do after a presentation? What are the important things to keep in mind when given presentation feedback? And how can I structure my feedback to be both supportive and constructive?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you want to start the new year off right, we're happy to help. Come to Seattle January 21st and 22nd to update your professional skills. Learn about management and communication with other professionals who are probably going to fulfill their New Year's resolutions. Seattle, January 21st and 22nd, we're hosting an EMC and ECC, and we'd love to have you there. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Providing feedback after a presentation is delivered is not really a question of quality control, where you're trying to find all the flaws and point them out to someone. And it's not really also a question of whether or not the presentation appealed to you. If you want your feedback to be really helpful, the questions are, did the presentation achieve its purpose? And did the presenter help or hinder that process? I think a lot of us, when we think about, if somebody says, how did I do it with a presentation? You're like, oh, well, I really like this bit, you know? And it's all about what you like or don't like. And that's really not the objective, because the objective of a presentation is to achieve some goal, not to say things that you like particularly, unless you're the customer, in which case. So the answers to when you answer those questions, did it achieve its purpose and did the presenter help? You have to leaven that with a view of your relationship and the support that the presenter needs. Because as we said in chapter 1 of this cast, a lot of people are really nervous about presenting. And when you're giving them constructive criticism, what you can be doing is beating them down and making them want to never present again. And that's not the idea. And when most of the time, most of the problems are not so bad that they hinder the purpose, we don't need to give that feedback. Oh, and yes, the feedback needs to be behavioral. And if that sounds like a tall order, we're going to help you get there in this guidance.
And when talking about this guidance, it applies to peer-to-peer feedback and follows the Manager Tools peer feedback model. If you're thinking about giving presentation feedback to your boss, first review chapter 1 of the Manager Tools guide for specific guidance on boss feedback. The stakes and approach are very different. So this, again, is for peer-to-peer using the peer-to-peer feedback model.
And don't confuse this with the Manager Tools feedback model, which is a separate framework specifically for managers giving feedback to their direct reports. That model also has its own defined purpose and specific phrasing, which we are not covering here. We're aware that we're going to say the word feedback a lot and be mixing terms which may confuse you. So we wanted to make that clear from the outset. This is not Manager Tools feedback model for managers to give to their directs. It's going to be the peer-to-peer feedback model, which is something different. We'll explain.
And in these casts, we're going to cover, identify the purpose of the presentation, give feedback on behavior, choose what feedback to give, then follow the Manager Tools feedback model, avoid these pitfalls, and lastly, observe your own impact.
So the very first thing you need to do if you're going to give feedback to someone, real constructive, substantive notes rather than just praise or just telling them, you did a great job. If you want to be useful, then the first thing you need to do is understand what the presenter is trying to achieve, who they're trying to achieve it with, and how they'll know if they've succeeded. Because if you're going to help them succeed in their goal, then you need to know what their goal is and how they're measuring it.
And every presentation should have a clear purpose, and every evaluation should be constructed to help the recipient understand their success or failure in achieving that purpose. If asked to review any presentation, your first question should always be, what is your purpose? A presenter who cannot clearly articulate the purpose has no hope of succeeding, and the biggest service you can do for this person is to help them establish what the purpose is. So not only do you need to know the purpose, but they should also know the purpose and be able to articulate it to you in order to be able to give any sort of information back to them in forms of feedback.
So a one-off presentation, it's usually pretty easy to work out what the purpose is. So if you're going to persuade the audience to take a specific action, it might be, please approve this vendor selection, or I need 3 volunteers for this project. The outcome of that would be the vendor selection is approved, or they got 3 volunteers. And if they achieve those 2 things, how the presentation went probably isn't that important because they achieved the outcome they wanted. Which is not to say that you shouldn't be practicing to get better and achieve more, but I think we leap to being critical without considering if this person achieved their purpose, do they really need this criticism? So I think most of this cast, we're going to talk as if, you know, feedback doesn't matter or telling people they're doing things wrong doesn't matter. And it does, and people want to get better and should try to get better. But because I think naturally we're all a bit critical, we're trying to remind you throughout this that not everything needs feedback.
Yeah. So really consider that before you start giving it. And if you're to the point where you've decided that this is an appropriate point to give feedback, there's all the things that we're going to talk about that you should consider. So if the purpose of the presentation is to get a decision made, it could be like, which option should we pursue? Or can we proceed with this investment?
Then there's teaching an audience something. So here's how the new system works, or this is our updated security protocol. And you would hope at the end of the session that people understood it and could tell it back to you so that you know they've understood and taken what you were teaching them.
Yeah. Or build confidence in a plan or approach. Saying this is how we'll handle the merger, or our risk mitigation plans covers all the bases, trying to get almost everybody on board, or at least all the information that they need, so they'd feel better about moving forward with a plan.
Then you might be wanting to get buy-in for change. So it might be, this is why we need to change our process, or this is how the reorganization will benefit everybody.
And the purpose could be to address concerns about an issue. Here's what we're going to do about the system outage, or this is the plan to improve employee retention.
It was really good when I got that list, and I was thinking, well, what are presentations for? Because you just kind of do them. Somebody says, yeah, can you come to this meeting with a presentation? And that you think the goal is to fulfill what you've just agreed to do, to have a presentation. But that's not the goal, right? The goal is to achieve something. And the more specific the purpose, the easier it is to assess whether or not you've succeeded or failed in achieving it, or the presenter has succeeded or failed. Even if the presenter knows, I want the audience to take a specific action, you could be even more specific and that will be useful or more useful. For instance, persuade 3 people on my team, including Jill, to volunteer for this project, gain a commitment for a kickoff meeting next week from each of them, and decide on the date and time for that meeting. That's pretty detailed. It gives you a nice checklist of things. Did you get these things or did you not?
Another example is to get 6 out of 10 meeting attendees to make positive comments, have everyone acknowledge they understand the reasons for the change, and gain their commitment to speak positively about it to their teams.
That's a tough one. I think that if you're going into a meeting and you know it's going to be controversial, which this sounds like it is, all I would want is I want to get out of that room as quickly as possible and unscathed. But actually what you really want is to persuade those people and make sure that they are going to report it to other people as a positive change. The last one is having every team member successfully complete a test transaction, express confidence in handling common issues, and know where to get help if needed. So it's a very teachy one. You need people to do the transaction and make sure they say yes. If I was on my own, I'd know how to do that.
Yeah. Managers might recognize this structure from the DBQ model for delegation. So DBQ being deadlines, behaviors, and qualities.
So the behavior would be volunteer, and the quality would be agree to the kickoff meeting and decide on a date and time?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I feel better. I got one right. And then get 6 out of 10 meeting attendees to make positive comments and acknowledge they have reasons for the change and gain their commitment.
Yes. So for the 6 out of 10 meeting attendees to make positive comments and have everyone acknowledge they understand the reason for change, the behavior is that we want the comments and the qualities of that, so we know that we passed or failed, is that they're positive comments and that they do understand and that they're going to go back and talk to their teams. That's how we know we accomplished the behavior that we were looking for. And obviously the deadline for all of these is as soon as the presentation ends, right? Or even in the middle of the presentation.
Yes. Perfect. So if you don't know how to delegate or you need help delegating, the Effective Manager Conference or Manager Tools can help you. It just appeared to me that, oh, look, we're writing these and they're just exactly the same thing.
And then people who ask for feedback often expect to hear about what they present. So when people actually ask the question and want the information, they're talking more about vocal speed and tone, body language, and so on. However, these details only matter in the context of their purpose. While everyone can improve their presenting skills, what really matters is whether they can achieve what they set out to do. So regardless of your speed, tone, intonation, all the details, if you don't have a purpose, it doesn't really matter how good you are at all of those things or even how bad you are at all of those things, because the goal is to meet the purpose. And when the purpose is achieved, the small flaws in the delivery really do matter less. When it isn't achieved, only then is it really worth analyzing whether their presenting style contributed to that failure. So I know when we talk about, we have an example in our conferences about presenting during our coaching model, actually, and it's the amount of ums allowed in a presentation or filler words. And they're like, no ums. Like, okay, slow down, everyone. If someone says 5 times in an hour presentation, does that take away from the presentation itself? Did we still achieve the goal? So if they say it's okay. We can't get rid of it. It's going to happen. And more than likely, after I have this conversation with all of you, I'm going to say a lot more in this podcast. So apologies, because now it's in my brain. But did you meet the goal?
There's someone at a Toastmasters meeting who counts the ums and ahs just to help you get better at it. And I always find the moment I'm that person, I more than any other time. It's like when you become attuned to it, you suddenly realize you do it all the time.
Yeah. But I mean, in some cases, if you're saying it every sentence or every third word, that does impact the message and people understand less. So there's the other side of that. That could be something that you would want to get feedback on because it did impact the overall purpose.
So for routine presentations, ones that you do every week, maybe to a staff meeting or some kind of team meeting, that focus on purpose is also valid. Because, and thinking about what the purpose of a regular meeting or update is can be more difficult, because especially if you're a junior team member, and somebody said to you, you have to come to this meeting every week with 5-minute presentation about the results of the last week's work. And you think, well, I was told to be there. How can I have a goal? You know, the goal is to fulfill that task that I've been assigned, which is true. But you can have another clear purpose for even for weekly status updates. If you are talking in a meeting, you really ought to know why. So maybe you're using this presentation for presentation practice. So you're trying to speak more fluidly, or you're trying to remember to look up and look people in the eye when you present or so on. Or maybe you want to come to 4 of these meetings in a row with positive results to impress your boss. Or maybe you want to persuade someone in the meeting to give you a hand with something because you're behind. So each individual meeting can have a purpose as well as fulfilling the task you've been given to present.
And there's a secondary benefit to this approach. When we help presenters focus on what they're trying to achieve rather than how they look or sound, they often relax. Relaxed presenters are naturally better presenters. Focusing on the right thing, which is the purpose, automatically improves the thing that they were worried about, which is the style.
Everybody worries about how they present. And all that matters is the achievement. When you do give feedback, you have to tell them why it matters in the context of the achievement of the purpose, because otherwise it's just personal criticism or It's, I prefer this style of presenting versus this style. Like, preferences don't come into it. The only reason to give feedback is to improve how well the presentation achieves its purpose. And if your feedback won't help make future presentations effective, more effective, then just don't give it. We're going to do it very narrowly because it's really easy to criticize people when they've presented. And like I said before, most of the time, we want to help by giving constructive criticism, but it doesn't help. And so we're just reining you back.
And when we're talking about giving feedback, not narrowly, it's on a specific behavior.
Yes.
Right. When we start talking about the model, we're going to give specifics on behaviors. So just to clarify what behaviors are the words you say, how you say them, body language, facial expressions, work product. Work product can include the quality, the quantity, the accuracy, the timeliness, and documentation. Sometimes safety.
Safety is unlikely in a presentation, right?
Unless it's about like OSHA, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Or wear your hard hat. But we talk about behaviors a lot here at Manager Tools, and that is our blanket statement. So behaviors are the words you say, how you say them, facial expressions, body language, and work product. That's what we can give information on.
So let's give you some examples. When you create a clear, logical flow in your slides, here's what happens. The audience follows your argument easily, which makes agreeing to your proposal natural for them. Which is, if you've got good slides, people agree with you. Easy. Or when you interrupt Janet during the Q&A, here's what happens. She frowns and crosses her arms, and I notice the rest of the board following her lead once she shows her frustration. So we're not criticizing what someone did. We just say, hey, this happened and there's the effect.
If your New Year's resolution is to improve your relationships, Manager Tools can help. Our Effective Relationship series contains 32 podcasts representing each of the relationships between you, your boss, and your directs based upon DISC profiles. No idea what a DISC profile is? No worries. We've got you covered there too. Our DISC profile will help you gain valuable insights into your own communication style and learn how to adapt to others, leading to improved relationships, increased results, and greater success in both personal and professional settings. Take advantage of these tools today by becoming a Career Tools licensee. And for less than $15 a month, you can accomplish your resolution. Visit us at manager-tools.com/licenses to learn more.
So let's talk about giving feedback on behaviors. Give feedback on what you can see and hear, not the conclusions that you draw. No one can make changes when the feedback is, you looked nervous, it was confusing, or your energy was low. And even, great presentation.
Yeah. Thanks. Right? Now, what was great about it that I can do again?
Yeah. So when we're talking about behaviors, we have to be more specific, not generalized. And we all know when someone looks nervous, but it's unfair and irrational to expect a nervous presenter not to be nervous, especially if it's a one-off presentation where they're not doing it all the time or they're not in front of the same people. It is nerve-wracking. I'm a presenter, and when I have to present information I'm not familiar with, I get nervous. So it's not helpful to tell me that I looked nervous because... It's a true statement, but what can I do to fix that, right? So instead, what we want for them is to not look nervous. So that would be not exhibit the behaviors that lead the audience to the conclusion that they are nervous.
And in order to do that, the feedback needs to be behavioral. So what did you observe that led you to the conclusion that you drew? Because the person can only change things that you can observe. And if you can't do this, we'd suggest that you're not the best person to be evaluating a presentation. And that's fine. I find looking for behaviors really hard. I have to concentrate. Mm-hmm. And some people seem to do it very easily. So let's give some examples. Not you seem nervous, but you were speaking very quickly and looking down at your notes.
Not that was confusing, but... When you jumped between three different topics without transitions, I lost track of your main point.
or you're not confident with that material, but you checked your notes before answering each question. That one is a real, like, if somebody checks their notes every time when you ask them a question, it really does seem like they're not confident about the information that's in their head and they want to check and make sure they're accurate. So it makes them seem less confident. And I can also imagine people who have a reflexive habit of looking at their notes mm-hmm. when they're asked a question, even if they're not, the answer's not there. They just look to the notes, and that would give off the impression that you weren't confident about the material, even though you were. So that's a really good example of the behavior sending a different message than you would want it to.
Yeah. And another example is not great presentation, but you maintained eye contact with the whole room and gave clear examples for each point. And when talking about behaviors, I know for a lot of people, we try to group them together to maybe ease the point because we don't actually know the behaviors that we want. So an easy way to think about it is, what did they do that you either want them to do again in the future or that you want them to not do again in the future? Not your perception of it, not like confidence or nervousness, but what exactly did they do? Was it their hand movements? Was it their speed, their tone? Just think of exactly like what made you feel that way and whether you, yes, do that again, like that was great. Or nope, that movement, those words, that wasn't. Like, I wouldn't want you to do that in the future. Mm-hmm. That kind of helps make picking out the behaviors a little bit simpler of the actual action. If you had to describe it to someone and whether you want them to do it again or not to do it, can sometimes help picking out behaviors, I've learned.
I also think sometimes if you were trying to direct an actor to mm-hmm. look confident, what would you say to them? Like, how would you want them to move their body and their face and stand in the space in order to look confident? So when you think, how would I direct someone to do that? Sometimes that helps as well to find those behaviors, because you could only do that by telling them, hey, I want you to stand up tall. I want you to have your hands away from your body so that you're taking up space. I want you to stand in the middle of the room. I want you to make eye contact with people. So there's a whole bunch of things that go into confidence, but having to think about exactly what the confident person looks like helps you with that whole behavior mm-hmm. thing. So we've given you a lot to think about, because looking for behaviors is hard. So we will come back next week with actually how to give the feedback. But in the next week, I would suggest maybe as homework, when you're in meetings or when you're on Zoom calls or whatever you are in the next week, look at people and think, what behaviors am I seeing that's leading me to a conclusion? So you might sit in the meeting and think, my boss always seems to know his stuff. Okay, what behaviors led you to that conclusion? And that will help you with the practice before we start giving people feedback next week as we continue this topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.